Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's Breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday, where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Massive college football game this weekend in the Big Ten. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. You've got Ohio State Pearl traveling to Happy Valley to take on Penn State. Now, this is really, I just can't make it any bigger. This is a massive, massive game for both teams, but I think more specifically, both coaches. James Franklin has a terrible record when facing top 10 teams, let alone top 5 teams. It's not any better when he himself is also a top 5 or top 10 team. And Ryan Day, obviously you had the last second loss against Oregon, but they did not look good against Nebraska. And Ohio State has a $20 million roster and a $20 million coaching staff. This is, they're calling it the, you know, richest team money can buy or what have you. Who do you think is feeling more pressure heading into this game? Ryan Day of Ohio State or James Franklin of Penn State?
For me, it's James Franklin, because if James Franklin, you're facing a wounded, cold Ohio State team. This is the time to finally win that big game that you never win. You never beat the Ohio State. You never beat the Michigan. I know you have this quarterback instability and this issue, but I feel like this is the time to get Ohio State. And if you can't do it here, we're just going to say, like, Penn State's never going to do it. I think you're going to, if they lose this game, you're going to hear, like, James Franklin's never going to do this. Like, they'll be a good team against every other team except the top 10 teams. And the numbers prove that out.
Yeah, he's 3-17, James Franklin is, versus top 10 opponents, including 2-8 when the Lions are themselves ranked in the top 10. Yep. And they have not beaten Ohio State since 2016. They come in as the higher ranked team in this game. Mm-hmm. They're 3 in the country to Ohio State's 4 in the country. So you're right. This is the time for James Franklin. I think Ryan Day has more pressure, though. I do. Because at least for Penn State, I'm not saying they have a baked-in excuse, but there is a question of quarterback this week.
Right.
Whether it's going to be Drew Aller or whether he's going to be too injured to go and Bo Pabula. I can't say this guy's name. I'd rather say Kaimi Fairbairn's name 100 times before Bo Pribula.
Yeah, it doesn't flow.
I always put the emphasis on the wrong. I'm putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable with this guy's last name. I want to call him Pribula, but it's Pribula. Whatever the case, there is a little bit of a baked in potential excuse, because when your quarterback is hurt and some other injuries, that maybe gives Penn State just a bit of cover. But for Ryan Day, I know you have injuries along the offensive line. Your quarterback's healthy. You've got two running backs who are NFL running backs, who will be going on to play in the league, not to mention great receivers, which is just the normal thing now for Ohio State. And you know what's funny about Ryan Day? You know, on paper, just like James Franklin, they've had tons of success. Like, you would call them successful programs. But he's 0-3 against his Michigan in the last three.
Right.
And it feels like at times the sky is falling with Ohio State. They were so lucky to come away with the win against Nebraska, gotten the brakes beat off of them the week before.
You thought that was luck?
Listen, if Dylan Raiola is a sophomore and not a freshman, they'd probably go down and score that that go-ahead touchdown. He doesn't throw a game-ending interception.
I mean, they almost lost yards on that drive. I mean, Ohio State's defense is legit. This game is going to be like 16-13, by the way. This could be, last year, nobody could move the ball in that game. And this year's offenses are way inferior to last year's. So the thing about Ohio State, if they lose this game to Penn State on the road, then they have two losses, one of them being the best loss of the year, a coin flip game against Oregon at Oregon. They probably won't make the Big Ten title game. So their remaining schedule is, they host Purdue. They go to Northwestern. Now, they host Indiana, which is huge. Thank God they host Indiana.
Yep.
And then if they can't beat Michigan this year, Maggie, then the wheels have totally fallen off. So I think Ryan Day makes a playoff one way or the other. The odds, they're 9-1 favorites to make the playoffs. They're second in overall odds to win the title. They are shaped up well. So if Ryan Day loses this game, they're probably still going to make the 12-team playoff. That's why I think there's a little less pressure.
Listen, it's weird to say this about the team that's ranked in the top 5 in the country, but I'm going to say it, and I think a lot of Ohio State fans would agree with me. just making the playoff is not enough.
Right, but they made it as a wounded animal after they lost to Michigan, and they almost beat Georgia. Do you want to see this? Do you want to see that team with two losses in the playoff? No, of course not. They're going to be super dangerous no matter what happens.
Okay, but that was 2 years ago when they had C.J. Stroud at quarterback, and it turns out that last night was tough for him, but it turns out C.J. Stroud might be one of the great quarterbacks in the NFL. They don't have that now with Will Howard.
They have as many pros. They have more pros on this team than they had on that team. I mean, they have probably 18 NFL players.
But at the most important position?
Will Howard's fine. I mean, that's not been the problem.
Going two overall in the draft. You know what I'm saying?
But I'm not. I think this team on paper is as good as that team. I mean, you're right. They have Quinshon Judkins and Trayvon Henderson are running for 2 yards a carry. Like, there's something bizarre.
Well, the offensive line Trayvon is super
Henderson
banged
should
up.
Just go to town because you have to cover all those superstar wide receivers. Will Howard's been fine. There's been nothing wrong with him. I think they could lose this game. You know, it's a number three team on the road. This is not, on paper, a damning loss.
No, you say Will Especially Howard's Ballard been fine, played. But he, fair or unfair, wore it for the Oregon game. Because he didn't get down in time, and he took too much time off the clock.
Really?
To slide. Now, again,
he wore it for that? I don't remember. Like, that came down to Will Howard?
I mean,
honestly,
yeah.
I think Ryan Day
was wearing it because he wasn't, you know.
I thought that was brilliant gamesmanship by Dan Lanning.
It was also brilliant gamesmanship.
That game definitely came down to the Jeremiah Smith offensive pass interference. That was the play, not the Will Howard thing. Like, that was hard. They had 6 seconds to get down.
That was a nearly
impossible play.
You didn't see anyone saying Will Howard has way too much experience to let the clock run out?
I did see that, but I didn't see it at the end of the headline was Will Howard blows the game for Ohio State. I saw more Dan Lanning brilliantly runs down the clock. But to me, it was Ohio State got right down. They would have been at the 21-yard line, but that was a 50-50 call on Jeremiah Smith, and they called it. So regardless.
And now Oregon's the number one team in the country. Can't say that it's like, yeah, it's, I guess, like a quote-unquote good loss, but now it's left you with no margin for error. And again, the Big Ten.
No, they totally have margin for error.
Well, you lose to Penn State.
You're fine.
All right. I get it. Indiana, that game's going to be at the Horseshoe. Indiana hasn't really played anybody yet, but it's not a bad team. And three losses. Well, now let's talk.
Yeah, no, definitely. But like going to Penn State and losing is a lot different than like you're a much, much bigger favorite at home against Indiana. If you're Ohio State and you can't beat Indiana, then this is not your year. I'm sorry. I know Indiana's back and it's a great story.
Yeah.
But if you can't beat Indiana at home in a big game, then forget it. Like, this is not a serious season.
Pat, can you throw up on X, please, at Maggie and Perloff, who's facing more pressure on Saturday, James Franklin or Ryan Day? We have some James Franklin sound, so let's hear how the Penn State coach is approaching this big game.
West Virginia to open the season was a big game. Bowling Green was a big game. If you don't think it wasn't, lose to Bowling Green and see how people react. They're all big games. This is a big game because of how we've handled the previous six. So we don't change our process. I can't control the noise and the things that are outside this building, but we stay consistent with how we go about our business, and I can't control the other things.
Pearl, convinced that James Franklin is treating this game just the same as they treated Bowling Green, a game that they barely won.
Yeah. No, I'm not convinced. I think that James Franklin's trying something here. Whatever he's done in the past, he has to do the exact opposite, right? Because they've been such a big game failure.
Yeah.
So I kind of like this. I'm going to say, stick to your process. Sounds, don't get too high, don't get too low. Kind of sounds Patriots-like, like every game is important. Maybe that's a good approach. I'm not going to kill him for this.
I just don't believe it. I mean, I'm not going to kill him for it. It's fine. Take whatever approach you want. I never believed it when Belichick said it. I don't believe it when James Franklin says it. I never believe a college football coach who's going to tell me that Ohio State, a team you haven't beaten since 2016, when wasn't Saquon Barkley on that team? I mean, they've owned you. I don't believe this is just any other game. And the fact is you're ranked higher than them right now. So, no, I don't believe this is just like any other game. So you can say it, but don't expect me to believe it.
You know, the problem with the 12-team playoff, too, is Penn State's probably in with a loss. Because they're 7-0 right now, and they have Washington, Purdue, Minnesota, Maryland. They probably run the table. But here's the thing. If James Franklin loses this game and they do make the playoff, you mentioned Ohio State would be taken less seriously. No one's going to take him seriously in the 12-team playoff. That'll be like if he's a number 10 seed and he loses this game, I think you'd be crazy to pick him against, say, Alabama or Georgia, or not. Hopefully Alabama makes it, but whatever, a top team, because this for me is a huge test for James Franklin. And again, I said the same thing last year, and he just keeps failing these tests. I'm not even sure, like, they should trip into a win over a top 10 team.
I mean, what's different about them this year that feels obviously different is the offense feels different with Koltunicki now coming in to run the offense, and it does feel different. But again, you might have a backup quarterback. Who knows? Drew Aller is a game time decision. By the way, just for the betting side of this, and Nick Costos is going to join us in a little over an hour, and we'll certainly be breaking down this game. Penn State is a 3-point underdog at home. As far as your over under, Pearl, 46.5. So you don't think a lot of points are going to be scored in this game. That could be an easy win for you.
Yeah, no, I think last year was 20-12, and it was basically the only reason that the Ohio State got to 20 was Marvin Harrison Jr. was a god on the field. I would think that this would be a really, I think Penn State has a killer defensive line. I think they're going to destroy that offensive line. Nebraska looked like a legit defense against Ohio State last week. So I think it's going to be, I would definitely go under that game. What's your hunch on how this plays out? I mean, you have to know the quarterback. Obviously, that's hard to determine.
This is why this is actually going to be a stay away for me. We'll make our picks later on in the show. This is going to be a stay away for me. I think there's juicier, as far as betting is concerned, there's juicier options out there. Yeah, Pat, you look like you want to say something.
Yeah, I was just going to say, if Drew Aller doesn't play, Bo Pribula, like, it's just that I know he played well in the second half last week against Wisconsin, but this is just such a drop-off now to ask him to do this against a defense of the caliber of Ohio State. I think if Drew Aller doesn't play, yeah, it's Ohio State. You have to hammer Ohio State.
There was a funny visual that I was reading an article about it that Bo Pribula was walking around the other day without a shirt on, right? He was trying to his practice, and he was soaking up some vitamin D. It's been unseasonably warm around here in the Northeast. It was 80 degrees last night on Halloween, which is nuts for around here. So he's walking around Perloff without a shirt on. So up comes his offense coordinator, Andy Koltunicki, and he's like, oh, maybe I should take my shirt off too, and we're just going to have a little walk in the field here with two guys no shirts on. Andy Koltunicki, I would describe his physique as Andy Reid-like. Unfortunately, no photo evidence of this exists.
He's that big? Andy Reid's gigantic.
You know. See, he's in the same vein. I'm just saying he doesn't look like Perloff. You know, he's not Perloff-like in his physique. You know, tall and thin. He's a little more football coachy. 855-212-4227. Okay, here we go. Let us know who you think is facing more pressure this weekend, tomorrow. Is it James Franklin of Penn State? Is it Ryan Day of Ohio State?
Yeah. And by the way, we're not even going to mention the whole Chip Kelly of this thing. Guys, has anyone lost his fastball more in 10 years than Chip Kelly? Like, does anything he does offensively scare anybody anymore? What happened there?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, he was riding high.
He was unstoppable. When we first met each other, like, that was like the Chip Kelly offense was the creme de la creme. Oregon flew up and down the field. And that
he was an innovator. He was, you know, something so different. Went to the NFL, didn't really work.
Now it feels like a grind, his offense.
Yeah, that's true.
It was so fun at Oregon. Maybe it's a uniform. I don't know what's going on. Chip Kelly's offense is not doing it for me.
855-212-4227. All right, there you go. Who's facing more pressure? Is it James Franklin of Penn State? Is it Ryan Day of Ohio State? It's Maggie and Perloff. Coming up next, which college football team is on major upset alert? Got that for you next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff show. We just had a mascot run in the break. Is always fun. Red from the Red Bulls.
Red from the New York Red
MLS.
Bulls. And it's funny because they brought us like some donuts and stuff like that. But I actually really went to town on my kids' Halloween candy last night, which was it was amazing. But I gotta like stop with the sugar just for a second.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Butterfingers, which I mean, it's like not a candy bar you eat any other time of year, to me.
Yep.
And then 100 grand bar.
Love those.
You just forget how good this stuff is. And then all of a sudden it's just in your kid's Halloween basket. It's like, just hand it over, kid.
I'm just a Reese's peanut butter cup guy. And every time I went with my daughter, my 12-year-old, I'm like, you got to grab that Reese's there. They're heavy on the orange, baby. Get in there.
You know, I'm at the point where my kid loves lollipops the most. I'm like, have them. You have no idea what you're missing. Like, you're wasting lollipops. All this time with lollipops when you could be having just pure sweet nectar of the gods chocolate.
You might as well eat an apple. What's the point of getting lollipops?
At one point, he was eating two lollipops at a time. I'm like, this is just nuts. But, yeah, I'll take the rest of the candy.
By the way, you didn't get the news flash, did you?
What?
I have a new bandwagon. A new favorite.
I can't with you.
A new favorite. And I didn't know this guy was my favorite until lately. But it's a college football coach, and I think you can know besides.
No. Is it someone, if they're ranked in the top 25, I'm not letting you do it.
It's not necessarily that I root for this team, but this coach, I did not know how awesome he was. EJ Stewart, who's not here today, is a Miami Hurricanes fan and kind of told me about this guy. But I'm a Mike Elko super fan.
Oh, well, of course, everyone's a Mike Elko super fan. You can't claim that now. After a huge win at LSU where he makes a quarterback change that changed the entire maybe landscape of college
football.
It's not
that.
You can't do that now.
It's the way he talks. He's just like, that is a football coach. He just, the team loves him. He's inspirational. He feels like he gives them, for some reason, like an underdog vibe. I have no idea why.
One of the richest programs in all of college.
He went to Penn. So he's got a Philly connection and Ivy League connection. Everything about him is awesome. I had no idea that he was going to be this successful this quickly.
If you didn't like him at Duke, and if you weren't still on after they lost to Notre Dame, you can't get on the bandwagon now. I'm sorry.
I did not dislike him at Duke. I had no issue. I had really no opinion on him.
Well, this is how Riley Leonard, started Duke and Elko, and then they faced each other, and Leonard got the best of him. Nico, you look like you want to say something.
I don't follow the Ivy League that much, but what happened to rivalries like Dartmouth and Penn? No, okay, not
thank
Penn.
You, Nico.
The Ivy
yes,
League.
Yes, what happened to them?
The Ivy League is hot garbage all the way through as a educational group now, so nobody even cares. They've lost
Wait
the
a
whole
minute.
Thing.
If we don't have the Ivy Leagues.
Oh, the Ivy League's done.
What you will got, we do in life?
You got to go. Like, now the big state schools are hot because nobody wants to go to the Ivy Leagues anymore. Nico's wearing a Michigan jersey. That's going to be harder to get into than Penn in 5 years.
It might already be. No. By the way, you think Perloff respects rivalries? He loves Freddie Freeman, and he's a Phillies fan.
No. I don't love Freddie Freeman. I love Mookie Betts. I love Shohei Ohtani. I don't care one way or the other about Freddie Freeman. When did you think I would love Freddie Freeman?
You always talk about how great he is. You love him.
No. I've never, ever said that.
You said this is not a Chipper Jones thing.
No, I'm agnostic towards Freddie Freeman. Who loves Freddie Freeman? You have Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani. It's like, man, look at that Freddie Freeman go out there and be efficient at the plate. Like, he is not like a guy that you randomly love.
What are you talking about? Like, he's got this incredible story. You mentioned it yourself.
Yeah, he's like a feel-good story, but Shohei Ohtani that's a guy you root for. He's exciting. Freddie Freeman's good.
Oh, my gosh. Is it Halloween still? What's going on? Freddie Freeman, the World Series MVP, historical moments in the postseason. MVP, by the way. This guy is a walk-in Hall of Fame. Story's unreal. Sad story, losing his mom. His dad's with him every step of the way. His son is sick. He's doing this thing with multiple injuries. But you're not into Freddie Freeman? I feel like we just talked about this and you said
no,
you
No, it's
were.
Like a nice story. But like, if you're a neutral fan and you like Freddie Freeman more than Mookie Betts, you should have your head examined. Mookie Betts is awesome. No?
Wait, are you talking about?
I can't co-sign this take.
I don't understand where this is coming from.
Wait. I've always said Mookie Betts is, I've been saying all player. He's 100% Q rating. I don't care if you root for or against his teams. Like, he is so likable that he surpasses even the Red Sox-Yankees rivalry. Like, Mookie Betts is like the perfect athlete. No, I mean, do you guys? I feel like everybody feels that way. I've never met anyone who's like, I hate that Mookie Betts.
I don't. I think I'm indifferent, and I think that's probably the worst thing you could be towards somebody. Like, I couldn't care
about
Mookie Betts.
How do you feel about Freeman?
I absolutely see why he's loved and endeared.
But Mookie's way more popular. He's a very popular player, I think. I think he's one of the faces of Major League Baseball. I think Shohei's the face, but Mookie's not far off. That's my opinion.
We just came off 2 weeks and basically a month that was almost like the Freddie Freeman show. He was doing something that no one's ever done before. And it felt like night after night. I don't know. That's an interesting.
But if you're watching, like, hey, the MLB season's about to start. I'm so excited to see, like, ESPN would do a promo with Shohei Ohtani, Bryce Harper, Fernando Tatis. Mookie might get into that. There's no, like, and Freddie Freeman. He's not that level of star, is he? And
I think he is.
I think you're dead wrong about that.
You're going to do it off of a promo for a commercial. We're talking about a guy who's just coming off an all-time run. So don't you think he's elevated himself into a different conversation now? And he's been awesome for forever, basically. And he's been a winner.
Interesting. No, I still think, obviously, Shohei is the big draw, right? Can't compare. He's
historic.
You're
moving goalposts on me a little bit.
I still think Mookie Betts is more popular player than Freddie Freeman. Mookie Betts is big time. No?
He's like Freddie Freeman is batting eighth in the lineup.
I thought everybody felt this way. I'm surprised.
I guess we got to put it to the poll question, Pat. I don't even know how you word this one. I'm not sure.
Who's more of a star?
Well, here's one metric. Mookie Betts, fourth in jersey sales. Freddie Freeman, 18th.
All right, let's see what happens after this one.
I'd be very surprised. Like, think about if Mookie's like a more of a highlight player. I think Freddie Freeman's really good. But
he hit a walk-off grand slam in game one of the World Series. There is not a better highlight.
I think Freddie Freeman in the last 2 weeks just became an immortal man.
Thank you. He's not like a clutch World Series hero. This is Reggie Jackson stuff.
That's so funny you guys feel that way. Yeah.
So I'm kind of with Perloff here. Mookie Betts is more popular than Freddie Freeman. Yeah. I don't think that's actually a debatable question. I don't think that Yankee fans can bring themselves to like Mookie Betts. I don't think that's true.
They don't hate him like they did Manny and Big Poppy. Like, Mookie Betts was...
Well, because he got traded away.
Yeah.
But, like, no one's like, oh, I'm so happy for Mookie Betts. At least he won. No Yankee fan is, like consoling themselves because Mookie got a title. I don't think that's true. But Mookie's more marketed and... the audience responds better to Mookie Betts.
Yeah, I don't know how. He's like fake cool. Like he doesn't. Like he's bald. Like, dude, get some hair product. And also, he's like a bowler outside of baseball. Like, could you be more of a nerd?
Wait, hold on. Wait, Pat. I love that you're on my side for this argument, but hold the phone for a second. The coolest and most famous athlete of all time was bald.
Who's that?
Michael Jeffrey Jordan.
Yeah, but he had the hoop earring.
He went all the way. Wait, but so you're saying...
all right. Well, case closed.
So is the argument like you're saying Freddie Freeman's as popular or more popular than Mookie Betts?
I'm saying you started this, I think, as likable.
Yeah. Mookie Betts, that's his jam. He's likable.
What did we just see from Freeman?
Freeman is different. He's just in a different category to me. Like Mookie Betts, like kids light up around Mookie Betts. Like Freddie Freeman's a good player, but... I don't think he's that kind of player, like where he's just like, oh my God, I got to buy a ticket to go see Freddie Freeman. Maybe it's just me. Like, he's not a needle mover like, you know, Shohei. Mookie's a little bit below. I think Bryce Harper and Aaron Judge are in that. Like, those are the needle moving popular players. Freddie Freeman is not in that list.
Yeah. My guess would be that people buy tickets to see Mookie Betts. I don't know people buy tickets explicitly to see Freddie Freeman.
I mean, the guy's just coming off of his box office in the World Series and put himself in Immortal Company.
But the Immortal Company is also George Springer, and no one's going to Blue Jays games to watch George Springer because in 2019 he had a home run of 5 straight World Series games.
But think about it. I think that Freddie Freeman has a couple things going for him and also against him. You're also on a team with Mookie Betts and Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
You probably are two of the 8 guys you'd be marketing in Major League Baseball,
right.
Period.
There's not a lot left for him.
And when he was on the Braves, they were great.
And they sucked.
Well, it was the Braves, and you had, I think it was just a little bit more about Acuna. But anyway, it was still a lot about Freeman. That's interesting. I think he's awesome. Let's go to Andy in New Jersey to change gears for a second. We were asking you, who is feeling more pressure tomorrow? Is it James Franklin of Penn State? Is it Ryan Day of Ohio State? Andy, what do you think?
Good morning, guys. Happy Friday. Pretty torn in this game, honestly. I've got a freshman at Alabama, so that's been a lot of fun this year. But my son graduated Penn State a couple of years ago, and we've had the joy of watching us lose these big games every single year. I'm cautiously optimistic only because they came back against USC in the second half where they looked horrible. They survived. I don't say survived. They won the trap game, I think, at Wisconsin. However, we've had the joy of watching us lose every single year. This team should do well. Bo is pretty mobile, and maybe he can get it done. I want to say that they're going to win. They're going to be at home. Do I think Franklin has pressure? I don't. I watch this guy every time we lose a big game, and it's kind of like, okay, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think if Day loses this game, I think he's got big trouble and probably looking for a new job. That's my opinion.
Andy, thanks for the call. I think you're probably right. I don't know if Ryan Day loses the job if he loses this game necessarily, but he already has this weird relationship with the hot seat when it comes to Ohio State fans, Perloff. Mm. So I don't think anything is a given.
Well, he's got to beat Michigan, obviously.
Well, if he can't beat Michigan this year, then.
Yeah, so that is the real metric for Ohio State coaches beating Michigan. I'm very curious. I don't think it kills him if he loses this game because they're probably going to be in the playoff anyway. That's where he'll be really judged.
What if he loses to a backup quarterback?
Nah,
I don't think that matters.
If it's a close game, I don't think the committee's going to kill them for that. I mean, they're the number three team in the country on the road. I mean, so they're two losses. They're going to look at the committee at the end of the day is going to have a loss at Oregon and a loss at Penn State.
Penn State's three.
Right, though, and losing at the number three team. So you would end up losing probably, the committee's going to be like, you lost on the road the number one and number two team in the country. That's going to look good. I mean, they're going to try and convince themselves to get Alabama in, who lost to Vanderbilt. So trust me, like they'll be fine with Ohio State. And then, again, I don't know why. I feel like Ohio State hasn't figured it out yet. Like this team is not gelling, right? They have all this talent, and they still can't move the football.
855-212-4227 if you want to weigh in on Penn State. Ohio State, Bogish has headlines for us. Yo.
Guys, the Houston Texans dropped to 6-3 last night in Jersey. They still have a cushion, though, atop the AFC South, having already swept the second-place Colts, but they've got some issues.
Working from the gun, Stroud, 47 seconds to go. Three receivers left, two to the right. Stroud steps up. Stroud is sacked back at the 15.
Ian Eagle on Westwood One, 8 sacks of C.J. Stroud. Kaimi Fairbairn missed 2 field goals. And stud pass rusher Will Anderson missed the second half with a left ankle issue. Houston did lead last night 7-0 at halftime, but the Jets scored TDs on all 3 second-half possessions, not counting one kneel to end the 21-13 victory. All 3 second-half scores came from Aaron Rodgers' right arm.
Something happened last Sunday physically for me, and I feel so much better. I was able to run around a little bit more. Now give me 10 days. You know, I feel like my legs will be back, and hopefully, you know, we'll have a good stretch of health moving forward.
What is that something that happened?
What are we dancing around here? Did he get what do they call them? A cortisone shot or something?
I thought it was a cayenne pepper drink that he got from Thomas Morstead, who had the play of the night last night, that 80-yard punt. But I don't buy it, though, because he might feel good now, but what happens if he just takes another wrong turn? I think Rodgers' lack of mobility is the one reason I can't even get into this hypothetical that they run on the table. I mean, even if their schedule's not great, like at a certain point,
he ran like Lamar Jackson last night on one play.
That looked like me. Let's be honest. Like, he was going so slow, and it was like he had just run a marathon. He was so excited at the end of that 12-yard run.
Yep.
That got called back on a hold, ironically.
That was a play that the Texans defenders looked like they were like, should we crush him? Should I break his ribs right now? I don't want to get a penalty.
They did it. It's like a pitcher throwing a changeup. They didn't know what to do. That's why it works. Like in the cartoon when the ball comes in so slow and the guy swings like 14 times. That's what he's doing. He's going slow, so they're out of rhythm. That's why it works.
And
here
guys
come,
are just
guys.
Falling behind him. The fact that got called back, that was one of those, just give it to him. 40 years old out there running into the teeth of the defense. Just give it to him.
I know.
Didn't think he was going to get up from that, by the way.
I know. It's not his upper body. You can hit his upper body as hard as you want. It's those legs that are terrifying. Because he got hit, I think, near the shoulder pads. He is a walking injury. I'm really nervous about that part of it. And even when he actually, like, at the end of the last game on Sunday, he said he was feeling good. Wasn't he limping by the end of the Patriots loss? Didn't he limp off the field? So when Sunday? After the game?
Well, I don't know. He's dancing around something. Something happened.
Something hurt Sunday.
And he's all of a sudden magically better now.
I thought he said he figured it out on Sunday.
Yeah.
No, he said something happened Sunday. I didn't feel good. I feel better now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that he found the magic bullet on Sunday, literally.
No, I think it was a negative Sunday, and now he feels better than that, which is why he played better last night.
But, like, the idea that it's actually cayenne pepper and water is the silliest thing I've ever heard. So he's dancing around something.
It's and also, it's a short week. Like, it's amazing that he was able to turn around. That's tough between a Sunday and a Thursday. I mean, listen, the Texans got the Thursday night curse hard last night. Offensive lineman going out. Once Will Anderson left the game, he never came back and was the same player. Thursday night football, we were back last night, baby. That was crappy Thursday night football.
Add in the MetLife Stadium turf, and that is just a recipe for ugly.
That was one of the worst, you mentioned earlier in the show, one of the worst first halves I've ever seen. I'm like, oh my God, this is like Jags versus the Colts 2013. What is going on with this game?
Well, when Malachi Corley dropped the touchdown right at the 1 yard line, I was like, oh, we're setting up for an all timer tonight.
Was it Rodgers 0 for his first four and he had minus yards through into the second quarter?
He had 32 first half passing yards, the fewest ever in his career before halftime with 10 or more attempts.
Yeah, I know. And the game was somehow even more boring or worse than that.
He keeps setting records, by the way, like low light records. Like, it was like an incomplete pass for the, four straight incomplete passes to start a game for the first time in his career.
Also, they were to Devontae Adams, and he's looking at Adams like with the shoulder shrug. How are they not on the same page? But they got there eventually.
Adams catching one touchdown pass last night, two for Garrett Wilson. They were both one-handed. The second, an all-time grab, jumping, falling in the back of the end zone. They're jet snapping a five-game skid. This is win number one in four tries under interim coach Jeff Ulbrich. Hakeem Olajuwon, Andre Kirilenko, and now Victor Wembanyama, the only players in NBA history with multiple five-by-five games. And Wemby wants even more.
It should be a consistent thing. And, as I said before, I think it's something we must have. And that's something I must have more often too, being able to help my team in all these areas.
So these are games with five or more of five different stat categories. For Wemby last night, 25 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists, 5 blocks, and 5 steals on a 106-88 route of the Jazz. So he's got two of these games. Kirilenko has 3. Olajuwon had 6 of them. Devin Booker scored 40 in the Suns' 125-119 win at the Clippers. And the Rockets' 108-102 winners in Dallas. Jalen Green, 23 points and 12 boards. Our San Jose Sharks have won 3 in a row. 3-2 over Chicago last night. It's 5 in a row for the Hurricanes after an 8-2 rout of the Bruins. Boston has dropped 5-6. And the Dodgers, including Freddie Freeman, parade through L.A. at 11 a.m. Pacific today. The after party might be fun. A business owner named Frankie, just Frankie, says all Dodger players get, if they want, a lifetime VIP card to his two gentlemen's clubs. One of them is called Plan B. The other's called Foreplay. That's four, the number 4-play.
Well, that's clever.
Isn't it? And don't worry, if you're not a player, you can also enjoy a deal or two. If you can prove that you work for the Dodgers, which I suggest you don't do at the Gentleman's Club, or if you just wear Dodgers gear there, there are different specials and deals inside the two establishments for you as well over the next week.
That's real journalism there, Bogus. Thank you.
I just would love to see the person who walks in and is like, I work for the Dodgers. you might not want to announce that.
No. Don't scan your ID at that point, at that place.
Well, I can imagine that place is probably be pretty rocking.
What if I walked in and said, I'm Shohei Ohtani's interpreter?
They just score you right to prison.
Do you think I'd get the deal, though, first?
You speak Japanese? Well, maybe you could. Why not? You could be bilingual.
Yeah.
I know you, and I know you're not.
Fake it till you make it.
Yeah. What if someone's like, oh, can you interpret this for us? What are you going to do? Fake that?
Quick little Google Translate and then try to read Japanese
coherently? No, not going to happen.
This is not the first time a club like this has offered such a package to a championship team or an individual player. I kind of want to know the success rate.
The hit rate on this?
Yeah, like how many guys are taking them up on it, or should we just stop paying attention to these types of businesses just putting their name out there for no reason?
Well, there's a reason.
To get me to mention it on the updates. Should I stop being a shill to Foreplay?
I don't know. It's always kind of interesting to me. I don't care if it actually happens.
Okay. Can I ask you something? So there's a lot of etiquette around when you can approach professional athletes and famous people in general, right? Like, when is the appropriate time? Like, if someone's sitting at a table eating dinner, generally stay away, right? Other times, maybe you're walking by yourself on the street. Okay, then maybe you can stop somebody. Grocery store, whatever. What's the gentleman's club etiquette there? I'm going to be honest. I'm totally out of my depth on this one. I have no idea. Can you approach a professional athlete at a strip club?
As long as it's not mid-lap dance,
you think
all
so?
All systems go.
Well, you mid-lap dance, you'd have to be a fool. You wouldn't approach anybody when they're in the middle of something like that.
Excuse me, Destiny, real quick.
Can you just move to the side, please?
I've been approached during a lap dance many times.
To say what? Are you Pat Boyle from WFAN?
Exactly.
Get out of here.
No, I'm kidding. But, like, no, by, well, I guess.
Friends?
I
haven't been hey, do you want another drink?
Yes. Yes. Not a random stranger. Hey, man, nice job.
Love that Kevin Durant take.
I think part of the problem would be, at least from my vantage point, is I'm not in the same part of the club as the pro athlete to notice him and then approach him.
Right. Actually, this is getting a little close to, this actually was part of the movie Big Fan. They weren't in a strip club, though. There was at a nightclub. Do you guys not remember this one? Patton Oswalt is in Big Fan.
I know the movie. I've never seen it. Yeah.
It's a...
The Giants, right?
Yeah, so it's a sports movie about a crazed Giants fan, Nico, not based on your real life, who calls into sports talk radio all the time. And it's actually Scott Farrell who is playing the sports talk radio host. And he gets into like a three-way kind of argument with Michael Rappaport, who is a diehard Eagles fan at the time. And then he actually hunts down the Eagle fan at an Eagle bar and, spoiler alert, shoots him with a paintball gun. And goes to jail for 6 months. But anyway, in the movie, he approaches, he sees a star player for the Giants and follows him to a nightclub.
Yeah, I would say if they're not in a VIP roped off part of the club, then yeah, I think they're asking to be approached if that's the case.
All right.
Like if you have all that money and you go to a strip club or you go to a regular club and you're in the regular section, you're asking for fans to come up to you.
Yeah, I get that.
Because you can easily drop $5,000 and not be seen.
Right, not be in Gen Pop with the rest of us.
I was saying, are there GA admissions into a strip club? Is that how this works?
I got kid tickets. Where do I get?
No, yeah, just not, standing room only?
Well, yeah,
I don't even need a seat. We have a lap dance? Like, nah.
With me throwing singles where you could be throwing 20s.
I always thought you guys went there for the food. 855-212-4227. I was told that.
Whoever told you that was a wise man.
And he's true. It's food's great.
I always thought there'd be some glitter in there or something. Ugh.
They keep it separate.
Mm.
It's a professional establishment.
There's anti-glitter dishware.
There's no such thing. All right, lots to do. Coming up, Lamar Jackson out of practice for 2 straight days. What does it mean? We'll tell you next.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com, not available in all states. All right, Maggie, you mentioned a story that has been really baffling me all week. Is Lamar Jackson hurt? What is going on here? Like, I want to pick the Ravens to win every game and go to the Super Bowl and be the most exciting offense of all time. They're number one offense in the league. They add Deontay Johnson, and now there's a knee injury? Explain to me. Break it down, Dr. Gray.
Oh, if only it was a knee injury. According to the Ravens, it's a knee and a back injury, and that is just not what you want to hear. Now, the Ravens are hosting the Broncos. They're still a 9-point favorite in this game.
Yeah, so that makes sense.
I believe that reflects they think that Lamar Jackson is still going to be playing. Who is it? Josh Johnson, I think, is the backup. But anyway, this is not what you want to hear, especially, I'm going to say it, this early in the season. Like, the Ravens still have a lot of difficult games left in the AFC North, and this is the first thing it made me think of. Listen, maybe Lamar Jackson is fine. I'm not trying to be an alarmist here, but he has had issues with injuries in the past, Perloff, and finishing seasons has been a challenge before last year. Remember, he gained some weight, tried to make himself a little more sturdy. Then he felt like he wasn't fast. He felt like linebackers were chasing him down. So then he lost a lot of the weight.
Yeah. I mean, remember last year in the AFC title game, he broke through a hole and he got caught. About 15 yards downfield, a young Lamar Jackson would have ran to the house. Right. He definitely looked slower last year.
So I'm going to say this, and I realize what I'm saying. This has not gone to a scary level yet. If Lamar Jackson, though, does get hurt in a more serious way and does have to miss games this season, it makes last year's loss in the AFC Championship game all the more worse.
Oh, why do you gotta go there?
It's the first thing I thought of.
Why are you doing that to Baltimore fans?
Listen, I'm not doing anything. They already know. But you have these moments, and when you don't capitalize on them, there's just never a given that you're going to get back. And the fact that you could have home field advantage, which, by the way, right now looks like Kansas City's definitely getting home field advantage. So yeah, and listen, I'll put my Buffalo Bills in the same category. They blew the 13 seconds game. They had the Chiefs at home last year. That was not as good of a team, but that's whatever. You've got to make good on these moments because they don't happen all the time. And the Ravens had an all-time great regular season last year. They look unbeatable. You get the home game. You get a Chiefs team that doesn't have this crazy dynamic offense, despite the fact of having Mahomes and Kelsey. And you couldn't get it done. You laid an egg. You were favored in that game. And I can't help but think of it. I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be a downer.
I think it's interesting. The Ravens, they're offensively, they're different team this year. They are just amazing. I think they finally, Todd Monken's offense took a little while to get going. Now
they were awesome last year.
They're way better next year, this year, I think. Now that they have, especially now they have Deontay Johnson, they are legitimately the best offense in the league. There's just nobody who's, I don't even know who's your competition for them. Who can?
The Lions.
Yeah, the Lions. That's a good one. But still, the way numbers wise, they've been way ahead of everybody because Lamar is running like crazy. Lamar is throwing like crazy. And you have Derrick Henry. And once you get that lead and the defense gets tired, it's coming at you. The only thing about this team is they've been losing some games. And I don't even quite know how. I don't know how they lost that game to Cleveland last week. They should have won that game. They dropped an easy interception that would have sealed the win. I honestly
Their defense is not as good.
Well, they lost week two to the Raiders.
Well, that was looks fluky now.
Yeah, no, that's what I mean.
Like they were letting everyone come back. I know because the defense isn't good.
They're 5-3, but they don't feel like a 5-3 team. They feel like a better team than that this year because that offense is. It's just there are a lot of weapons. You have the two tight ends and likely and Mark Andrews. That's like early Gronk Hernandez Patriots. You have now. I think when Zay Flowers is healthy, he's a legit weapon.
Yep.
Bateman's playing really well. You add Deontay Johnson. Lamar is seeing the field perfectly this year. I mean, he should be. If he stays healthy, he's the MVP again. So I don't know. Like, it feels like a really, really good team. It doesn't, but the defense is not what it used to be. So you're right. Maybe last year was a missed opportunity, but this, I think this offense is significantly better than last year, believe it or not.
855-212-4227. So Wednesday, they called it a rest day, and that's why he missed practice. Then yesterday, they said it's back and knee. So obviously, we'll see what happens.
He's
this week.
Definitely playing.
But again, yeah, it's still a 9-point spread. Usually, Vegas catches up to these kinds of things. And even with a rookie quarterback on the road, you would think that spread would come down if Lamar's not playing.
Might be a little bit of a look ahead. They have a Thursday night game against Cincinnati, who they really should have lost. That's the one game they should have lost. And, you know, Cincinnati could be desperately fighting for their playoff life. So they have a couple big games. I think they're going to be fine. You just need Lamar at the end. And I don't know about this home field thing you keep mentioning. Is it the same anymore?
Well, that's going to have to be a bigger discussion. I want to get to our pal Phil in Pennsylvania because, Phil, I've got an update for you. Good morning. How you doing?
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Phil,
what's the update?
Here's the update. The Randall Cunningham jersey, along with several other fun presents and surprises for you, has been put in the mail.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you for letting us borrow your Randall Cunningham jersey for over a year.
No problem. I just have a quick question for Perloff. Back in 17, the Eagles added Jay Ajayi midseason to help the workload with LeGarrette Blount.
Yeah.
Do you think the Eagles might be able to pick up running back in the last year of his rookie deal to help shoulder the burden with Saquon so he's not overused heading forward into hopefully a deep playoff run?
I love that idea, Phil. You know, what's funny? They keep talking about a wide receiver for the Eagles who traded for Jahan Dotson earlier in the year and still could use another wide receiver. But I love that idea because every time Ken Gainwell, the backup to Saquon, gets the ball, I can hear the groan, don't give it to Gainwell. We love Ken Gainwell, Kenneth Gainwell. That is a good idea because we were just talking about Lamar Jackson. Phil, Maggie, I'm so worried Saquon's going to get hurt. It keeps me up at night.
You don't do that. Thank you, Phil.
Wait, what's the
keep a lookout for the package, okay?
Yeah. Even more so than Lamar, what is the rap on Saquon Barkley?
But he's knock on wood. The reason we brought up Lamar is because I've been out of practice the last 2 days. Saquon Barkley is fine.
You got to reduce his number of carries. Phil's 100% right. Howie probably is thinking the same way.
Coming up, Perloff says he has a story for me. What could it be?